the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars, where I have the owner and CEO of Bird Bakery. Her name is Elizabeth Chambers Hammer. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Now, I know that you've been in this seat quite a bit as a host and journalist, so please share a little bit about your work and entrepreneurial journey that has led to you creating Bird Bakery.
Of course. So I studied journalism in college. I always knew I was going to be an anchor. I knew I always wanted to go into journalism. My first job out of school was Al Gore's network, Current TV. I was an anchor there for 4 years and then went on to do shows on E! And the Speed Channel and local news, like everything you can imagine. And I love my job so much. But about, I guess it was probably 5 years into my career, I had 3 shows that were all canceled within 2 weeks. And I was so frustrated because, as you know, in television, you can do everything in your power to do your job as perfectly as possible. And there are other extenuating circumstances that you have no control over, whether it's ratings, whether it's financing, whatever it is. So I just felt this frustration in the sense that, like, I went from being the busiest person I knew to literally having 3 canceled shows. I always knew I was going to open a bakery. I thought maybe I would be 50 and hosting the Today Show and just do it on the side, which is a really good thing I didn't wait that long because I would have never had the energy. I could not be pulling like 5 all-nighters a week at the age of 50. But yeah, so I just said, I think now's the time. I want to be able to control my destiny. And I was really involved in DECA growing up. I don't know if you're familiar with DECA. It's a business marketing class in high school. And I actually won nationals at DECA when I was a senior in high school. Over 75,000 students. And I basically came up with a business model of creating an environment in a cafe, like Creek Cafe. I went to a school called Cherry Creek High School, where basically the business students are learning practical knowledge in their mm-hmm. cafeteria, basically, instead of hiring people from outside. So I always had this business sense and I always loved business and marketing. So I went on a run and I was like, okay, it's going to be called Bird Bakery. It's going to, at that time, it was 2012. So everything was like hot pink, orange. I felt like so many of the cupcakeries and bakeries that you walked in were just like plastic and bright colors, but I really wanted to have an organic feel that reflected our values in the back, which was like everything from scratch, whole ingredients, basically how I had always baked with my grandmother and my mother. And so it really, I mean, that was the impetus. And we are open 4 months later. It's been the biggest challenge of my entire life. I can still now simultaneously do television as well. But it is truly the most challenging thing I've ever done, including being a mother and everything.
That too. Yeah, yes. You've got lots of things going
but
on.
But no, I mean, it is. They say, you know, the greatest risk equals the greatest rewards. And it has been so rewarding. And we just opened our second location in Dallas.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's
so exciting. But like you said, obviously being an entrepreneur, much different from being a host, being a journalist. So what to you makes an entrepreneur, a great entrepreneur?
I mean, I always say there are 9 million reasons why you shouldn't do something, and there's that one reason why you should. So a great entrepreneur is a person that keeps focusing on that one reason. They focus on what they want, they focus on their dream, they focus on their vision, and there is nothing that can get in the way of that.
Mm-hmm. I think the hardest part is when you first decide, I'm going to start this business,
yes.
Those first few months where a little bit of imposter syndrome, maybe a lot of of imposter syndrome
yes.
kicks in, a lot of fears associated. Mm-hmm. So did you deal with any of those fears at first?
Oh my gosh. It was like every day. I mean, you know, I think we live in a different time now. I always, like, I think about the fact if I were going to start a bakery maybe 30 years ago or 40 years ago, I would probably be, you know, obviously an avid baker, which I am, but probably have to go work as an apprentice or something under another bakery
yeah.
owner to see how they started their company. And we live in a time where information is readily available, but that does not take away the fear and some of the anxiety and the challenges that you face. I mean, even now we've been open over 6 years, 6.5 years, and I'm still facing some of the same challenges we had in the beginning. We're a made-from-scratch bakery. So in the very beginning, one of my bakers wouldn't show up. And then the decorators would show up at 7, but they had nothing to decorate because the bakers didn't show up. And then we open our doors at 10, and there's nothing in the case.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, amazing business model. Not at all. Like, you know, basically, I was doing everything from making the sandwiches, making the cupcakes, doing the payroll, staying. I mean, I was basically sleeping there for the first 5 months we were open. I literally, like, slept at the bakery.
And that's what a lot of entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs don't understand is all the hats you have to wear in the beginning.
Yes.
It looks so glamorous from the outside.
Yes.
When you do pull it all together and you open those doors and the beautiful baked goods, but yes. what they don't see is all the chaos behind
oh
the scenes
no.
leading up to it.
It's true. I would literally go in the back alley and just hysterically cry for hours, and I'm not a crier. My mom was just like, why are you doing this to yourself? I just don't understand. And I knew that it was my dream and my goal, and that the, anything short of fulfilling that was going to be a failure in my mind. And everyone says, oh my gosh, I can't believe how successful you guys are. Did you ever in your a million years imagine that you would be this successful? I'm like, I would have not killed myself the way I did if I didn't think we were going to be. You have to have so much faith in yourself, because my own mother was like, just don't. Don't do this. I'm like, you know, I mean, you have to be your biggest cheerleader and your biggest support, because that's all you have.
So how do you maintain that sense of confidence and belief in yourself?
Look, what the alternative is not doing it. And how many people haven't done it? You know, it just takes you. It takes one person to do it.
Just having the right perspective.
Exactly.
About it.
And know that, of course, a million things are going to come up, but you're learning and you're getting stronger along the way. And every single challenge is just preparing you for something in the future. And it's not only preparing you for something in business, preparing you for something in life. Nothing surprises me in life. Like, nothing. I've seen it all. If I told you stories about, like, things, like, employees and challenges, like, there is literally nothing that throws me off because of the challenges I face as an entrepreneur.
What advice would you give yourself that first year if you could go back? What advice would you give your early entrepreneurial self?
That's a really good question. I think the advice I would give myself as an early entrepreneur is knowing that you're setting up a template for future success. So basically, in the beginning, you're kind of finding yourself doing the same things over and over. And the sooner that you set, that you put procedures and policies in place, so you save yourself, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. Like, just set up sort of yourself for success in the future. So policy and procedure is the biggest thing I learned. And I had to learn that by trial and error. Going into it now, I would have definitely told myself, you know, set those things in place. And whether it's forms, checklists for other people, and delegation. Delegation is, I think, the most difficult thing for people to learn. I always tell my management and my staff, I know you're going to do it 100%, but I need you doing other things. So know that I'm okay with 80% of it being done by someone else.
Are there examples of a few tools that you just swear by? Maybe it's apps, software, maybe it's tangible, intangible, a process that you mentioned that you just live by, that you're like, every entrepreneur needs to live by these three things?
Of course, yes. I think the biggest thing is the culture of your company, creating a heart for your business. You know, you care so much, and it's absolutely vital that people feel that all the way down, whether they're a dishwasher or a busboy or a manager or an accountant. I want our accountant to know how incredibly, like, what our culture of our company is and what it means to me and the blood, sweat, and tears it got. It's because it's really easy for someone to come in, walk through the door, think that they're clocking in, clocking out, and not know what it took to build this company. And I want everyone to feel part of that journey. So I think, like, the best advice I can give is make every single employee, every single staff member, every single person on your team feel what you feel in terms of ownership, and maybe do that with incentives, maybe do that with, you know, partial profit participation. But, and obviously that's something that happens much later, like, do not give away any profit participation in the beginning. But as you build your team and realize who's there to stay, make them feel invested. And you're only as strong as your least involved employee. And I always say that.
That's a really good point. So give us some insight into your week. Obviously, your bakeries are in Texas.
Yes.
You live in Los Angeles.
Yes.
You're a mom. You do on-camera work.
Yes.
What is a typical week like, if there is one?
I know, right? It changes drastically each week, but especially with our two-hour time difference in Texas. So I'm usually up by 4:30 or 5 because we are opening, our doors are open at 7. I'm on the phone. I mean, even on the way here, I'm on the phone, a conference call with my management team. We are always having staff meetings, you know, menu changes right now. We're going into fall, doing test baking. So I'm on the phone basically all day if I'm not in Texas. When I'm on set, they know I'm on set. They understand that. Thank goodness for text messaging. Thank goodness for FaceTime. Thank goodness for cameras. I Skype in and do, we have cameras in our office that have two-way audio. So I can have my management team in there and talk to them if during lunch if I'm on set. But the fact of the matter is I have an incredible team. Julie, who's my right hand, she's been with me for 8 years. She runs the company as if it's her own. And she's like a sister to me. She cares so much. So we are in constant communication. Even walking in, she's like, okay, I can tell you're checked out because you're going. She's like, you're going to be on camera. I'll talk to you when I have your full attention. I'm like, you have my full attention.
But
like,
you know, she knows you that
well. She knows me that well. And she makes decisions that I would make. If she can't reach me and there's something that is absolutely dire that needs to have an answer, she will answer as I would. But you know, that took a long time. So I think putting a team in place allows you to have a little bit of freedom in terms of having. I do. I mean, it's crazy. I have like 3 jobs. That's, and not including being a mom, which is, you know, the most important of it all.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about more about building Burnt Bakery. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those 3-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free, no credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, hey.
Hey. Did you hear? My friend's company was the victim of an email impersonation attack.
It's a serious threat to every business.
What if cyber criminals target us and trick accounting into making a wire transfer?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda.
So we're secured?
Yeah. Barracuda uses artificial intelligence to detect and block spear phishing and account takeover attempts.
What a relief.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Hey.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where I am chatting with the owner and CEO of Bird Bakery. Now, you touched on starting the bakery before,
yes,
but let's get into some of those juicy details about how your grandmother was inspiration, if you could start there.
Absolutely. So my grandmother had a really successful catering company in San Antonio. And after she passed away, people would call my mom and just, they were always asking for her recipes. They wanted to know her torta recipe, her lemon curd, because she was sort of just this establishment in the city. And I realized that if we open in San Antonio, because people always wonder why San Antonio. I was born there, but that's where her company was. So I knew if we opened in San Antonio with her recipes, we would at least have like a couple hundred customers. I couldn't guarantee the rest, but I knew at least her customers and their children and their grandchildren would come. So that's what we did. And a lot of them are my grandmother's recipes. A lot of them are my mom's recipes. A lot of them are just, the cookies are all my recipes that I've developed. I've been an avid baker since for as long as I can remember. I always say in television, I would maybe like go in, kind of have a good meeting, bake, go home, bake cookies, send them, and then I would get the job. So
it's probably awesome. Like, yeah. It's your good luck charm.
Exactly.
I wish that was my good luck charm because I love dessert. At what point did you decide that it was a good next step to open up in Dallas as well?
So we had been approached by so many people about opening in Houston and Northern San Antonio. And I can honestly say we probably turned down 500 opportunities. You know, amazing developments. It seemed like a good fit, very similar demographic to the success that we had in San Antonio. And I just didn't feel like the time was right. Dallas, the owner of Highland Park Village, which is the most prestigious shopping center, and actually the first outdoor shopping center in North America, came to us and he said, you know, we'd really love to have a Bird Bakery here. And then they were really persistent. He said, I've been approached by women in the parking lot every day. If I do not have a Bird Bakery here, my wife will not talk to me. And he just, you know, he was so adamant about it. And for us, I knew I'd be 9 months pregnant when we opened. I was on my feet. Like, I knew I'd have to be on my feet 22 hours a day, pulling all-nighters, 8.5 months pregnant. And to me, the timing didn't work out. So I just kept saying, no, this isn't going to work out. This isn't going to happen. And that was great negotiating power. we ended up coming to a deal. We did an 8-week build out and we opened right before Thanksgiving of last year. And we couldn't ask. It's so amazing because we have so many of our wonderful customers from Dallas who have family in San Antonio and vice versa. So we see a lot of our customers back and forth. And then it just has been a really natural and organic progression, and it was the logical next step. And it's thank goodness, it's been a wonderful thing for everyone.
Yeah, it's so cool. When I hear you talk about your story, it's so apparent that you're a business with so much heart, that
thank
it
you.
Started, you know, as a family inspiration,
yes.
and your recipes still to this day come from your family. Very, yeah. very cool.
Thank you.
So obviously, when you're starting a business and then expanding, mm-hmm. as you have to Dallas, it takes capital. And that's one of those things that a lot of entrepreneurs get stuck on. So how did you fund your business?
So basically, what we did is, I mean, our San Antonio overhead was a lot less than our Dallas just because of rent and because of, I mean, food costs. And so we had been in the black for a long time by the time we opened up our second location. I mean, San Antonio, our startup cost was honestly about a tenth of what it was in Dallas. So we had saved a lot of money. We had saved enough where we could do our build out. We could hire an architect. We could have like at least 4 months rent. And payroll. But for other people, and actually, I thought we were going to have to go this route. At one point, we had a small business loan from Chase, which was great because it really was like, again, a really organic situation. They were right next door. They saw how successful we were. The bankers came to us every day for lunch. And it was just this kind of like logical next step. So we had that as a cushion. But really, I mean, just saving our money and using it wisely. There are times when, you know, you feel like things are going really well. And my advice, I made mistakes where I'm like, okay, let's go buy a delivery vehicle. Just go pay cash. And like, I look back and I'm like, I could have had even more startup capital for Dallas. Why did I feel like I needed to pay just because we had that money in the bank? And it was like some of those little early on mistakes that I would do differently this time, obviously just make a car payment like a normal person, just, you know, and things
yeah.
like that. So
hindsight is 2020.
It is 2020, yeah. But just because you know do have capital at the time, save
it
that
needs
because
to be spent.
Exactly.
It can be saved
you
for
know,
something
yes.
bigger down the line.
Exactly. You have to always have that bigger picture in mind.
Yeah. But to your point, you're a cash flow business,
mm-hmm.
so it allowed you to
exactly.
self-fund
yes.
along the way.
Exactly, yes.
That's,
thankfully.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any business partners or has it really just been a one-woman show until, of course, hiring an amazing team?
Of course. No. So basically, when we opened, it was a decision I told my husband. I said, I really want to do this. And our business manager was like, this is a horrible idea. Why does everybody in the entertainment business feel like they need to go in the restaurant business? Please do not do this. And I was like, no, this is different. It's not like we're just, you know, funding. It's just, this is something that is like part of who I am. And it will be a success. So we put the capital up. My dad lives in San Antonio and he took like a small, I think 2%, just so he could come and check things out when I'm not there. He goes to the bakery 3 times a day and just checks on things. So, you know, I mean, it really, to be honest, has been, it starting the company was definitely a one-woman show, but continuing it has not been. My mom provides right, like so many of her recipes, like our pimento cheese, our chicken salad that we had growing up, and we've enjoyed all like summer long, all my mom's recipes, you know, she
yeah.
shared those with me. My sister is an amazing French trained chef. She's come and worked with my staff and given us her recipes. So, I mean, it's never really a one woman show.
It's so true because support is so necessary and support can take forms in so many different
exactly.
ways, not just financial
yes.
or even not even just labor. Sometimes it's emotional or
exactly.
or giving recipes in your case.
Exactly.
So very cool that
mm-hmm.
you have a lot of supportive people
it's
behind
true.
You. And
yeah.
speaking of that, you've built an incredible team. So let's talk about that.
Yes.
What do you look for when you're hiring someone?
So I look for we always say, is she bird? How bird-like are they? you know, but somebody who cares and understands that this is not just a job. I want people, I mean, we're on this planet for such a finite period of time. And I want them to feel fulfilled when they come to work. I want them to feel like this is their bird family. And to be honest, it was a lot easier in San Antonio because they grew organically with us, as opposed to opening our second location where you literally have to hire everybody at once. And a lot of times, especially if you have a small hiring window, it's a paycheck. And so that has been the biggest challenge is finding people that have a heart for the company, finding people who know what you've gone through to build it and make it what it is today and who respect your values. I mean, people who won't cut corners in the kitchen. Yes, it's easier to buy lemon juice in a bottle, but guess what? Our lemon squares are what they are because we freshly squeeze our Meyer lemons every day. So, you know, finding that kitchen manager that's not going to say, can't we just order this from Sysco? No. There's a reason we have a lemon squeezer and there's a reason that people love our lemon squares.
Mm-hmm.
So people are always going to want to cut corners. But I think if they truly understand the heart behind the company and the reason why you do the things you do and the reason why those things have worked, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and taking pride in your work, yes, and really the art of baking, ultimately.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to end on a fun and light note. And
love that
it. Is, if you were not the owner of a bakery,
yes,
what hat would you want to be wearing?
I think I would probably want to be a morning host on the Today Show.
Instead, you go into their kitchen
do, yeah,
and get to interact with the host,
yeah,
and make baked goods. So
exactly,
basically, you get the best of both worlds.
Totally. That's true. That's true. No complaints.
So fun. Well, thank you so much for
thank
stopping
you.
By
so
during
nice
your busy
you.
Schedule of and course. So fun learning about your amazing journey.
Okay, I'll send some cookies your way.
Please do. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We've got Caroline Rothwell in the building. She's the president and founder of Carol Marketing. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your company. What do you guys do?
I established Carol Marketing in 2004. We are basically where fashion and influence come together. And we do marketing and PR services and brand development services for fashion clients.
What you were telling me about is, which I think is interesting, is how you went from doing like fashion consulting to now consulting giant people that own giant shopping malls and stuff like
yeah.
that. How do you go from being in the fashion space to becoming like a high-end, high-paid marketing consultant that helps huge businesses? Because I know people that are in the fashion space and they're not shifting over to where you did. What did that process look like?
The ironic thing that happened was they found me.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
One example is I was sort of invited to an event and next thing I know, I'm being introduced to certain people and they were vetting me and I didn't quite understand they were vetting me.
Yeah.
And
like people with like $100 million net worths. And
yes. So you never know who's watching. You never know what they're bringing you in for.
Sounds like whoever made that connection for you, you owe them a favor.
I know. I'm very indebted
Changed
to those
your life.
People. Yeah. And I think the other thing is too, just having the agency for so long. I work with baby brands and I work with large established brands.
Okay.
I've built a couple brand empires. So I think people take notice. And if they're looking for a refresh, they're looking for someone that could come in and kind of get the job done.
Okay. That's what they're looking for. Someone who can get the job done.
Yeah.
You're the special agent they hire.
Kind of, yes.
So I want to know what the journey looked like for you, because at the end of the day, it's one thing to jump forward like we have right now, which is the success, what you've accomplished.
Yes.
But I want to go back to the beginning. I want to know what it was like. Was it easy? Was entrepreneurship always on the radar? Did you have a job you hated? Paint the picture for us.
What's interesting is I was very much on the track to become a lawyer. I was very
Are
much...
Are you happy that you didn't go that direction?
I'm very happy.
Okay.
It took me a while to kind of accept that, because I think you have a much safer track. And you kind of can anticipate what your future is going to look like. I didn't
If you were an attorney.
If you were, yeah. You kind of know where you're going to go.
Usually. Not always, though.
Not always. I mean, you can shift in partnership and do different types of...
I guess it's different. If you're an attorney who starts their own practice versus an attorney who works for a business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it was kind of interesting. I always stayed in politics, but what happened was instead of going into environmental politics, I stayed in the arts. And so I worked for Al Gore for a little bit and did some environmental work with Al Gore. And then I worked with Tsongas. And then I worked with Tom Ridge, the governor of Pennsylvania. And that's where they shifted me into arts education. Secretly, I was also signed to an independent record label. So I was
all
performing in New York and opening for some big bands. And I kind of had that secret life going. And I was looking for something creative. I didn't want to remain in my Navy suit. I was only 25. And I felt like there had to be more out there for me. Luckily, someone saw my CV in the political system and flew me to Los Angeles out of the governor's office. And I secured a corporate communications position at a young age. And I worked in the tech space. And they flew me up to San Francisco. And that's when I knew I wanted to stay in California and kind of explore my options out here. So it was kind of a wayward road that took me in. But since I was a child, I always loved fashion. My stepfather's mother would take me on buying sprees in Philadelphia to Filene's basement and just the energy.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
I was obsessed. My other grandmother, rich in tradition, a big old Southern home, and we would be in the attics and dressing and playing. And then as a musician, when I was on stage, it was all about wardrobe and styling. Yeah. And so it was always kind of in the back of my mind, but I never thought that it would be a career. And then flash forward in LA, I met a man who was really passionate, who bought a trademark for a fashion company. And he said, I like your style. I love your understanding of pop culture and vintage and process and retail. And do you want to give it a go? And he took a total chance on me. I made peanuts and it was a passion project. I left my corporate role and I took it on and I became their vice president within 3 years. And we built a $150 million company.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So
for people out there, though, that I feel like a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs, the problem why they never jump off the fence or why they wait so long to finally cut the cord from their job and go all in on their dreams is because they don't feel like they're certified, qualified, have the credentials. So my question for you is, for the people out there who are saying, look, I want to do this with my life or my career or my business, but I don't know if I have the knowledge, the skill sets, the resources, the connections, the credentials, the qualifications. What do you say to something like that?
I say, just be the best at whatever it is that you're doing. And whatever it is you want to attempt to do, surround yourself by those that can kind of guide you in the right direction. Do your own homework. I mean, the resources and everything that's available to you. Be forthcoming, be honest about where you are in your career, but never be afraid to try something different because honestly, it's probably already set its course and you're probably already on your way to getting there. It's just the journey. So never be intimidated or afraid that you're walking into a new territory you're not prepared for.
What about fear and rejection though? Because I think when most people are on their journey, I completely align with everything you said. Even with that, the biggest fear all people have is fear of not being worthy. Fear of rejection, fear of failure. We may not consciously say that or align with that, but that's what it is.
The hardest part.
The biggest reason why we're not having the income, the impact, and the life that we want is ultimately because of our fear of if we go after it and we don't get it, then we failed. Or worse, we get it and then we lose it. So why even go after it at all? Why not just live a comfortable life?
I've had both of those scenarios happen. Win it, lose it. Go after it, didn't get it. And
how do you keep going? And how do you bounce back?
You know, I think that that's the number one lesson I've learned as a woman, as an entrepreneur, is that it all comes from the inside. I mean, not to get all new agey on it, but it really comes from a self-balance, a self-acceptance, a self-love that we're doing the best that we possibly can at this moment in time. And if you really believe that and you really are in that space, these things should not impact you. You have to kind of move past that in order to succeed. Or otherwise, the smallest setback could set you back. There's going to be setbacks. That just comes with it. Humor is also a good thing to know keep in your life and laugh things off and keep some good friends around you.
Well, let's talk about that because I think most people don't have a very strong inner circle.
Yes.
We've heard the old cliche, but so true, saying, which is you're the sum of the five people that you're closest to.
Oh, absolutely.
Meaning if you're closest to your business partner or your loved one or your family or whoever your inner five people are you talk to and hang out with the most, you're probably a similar reflection of them or you've embodied qualities and beliefs and values similar to them.
Correct.
The problem with that is that if they don't have similar values and beliefs and an alignment of going in the direction you want, which may be a healthier life, a more financially abundant life, huge dreams to impact the world, whatever it may be, if they're not in alignment with that, it can be, not always, but it can be more tough to achieve those things. So how do you start to create an inner circle of people that can help push you in the direction that you want in life?
I think for one, you need to kind of listen to yourself. You can kind of get a sense when you're feeling that maybe it's not a good situation for yourself. You have to kind of only trust those that are worthy of your trust. You have to kind of see actions and not just words. So whether it is a friend or whether it's a client, I kind of have the same ethos that's sort of, you kind of have to earn the trust and you have to take your time to relationship build. I see a little bit of a struggle sometimes with clients that are very focused on social media, and there's a little bit of a false sense of what their true network really is and how much people honestly care about what it is that they're doing.
Give me an example. What do you mean?
I work a lot with influencers and I work in fashion. So, maybe it's unique in this space, but when you're building your network, there's those that are looking for opportunity to grow their likes and mm-hmm. followers and their financial gain and things like that. It's the same in the celebrity world and entertainment. So you really have to look at the values of the people that you're surrounding yourself with and just keep a good head on your shoulders and trust mm-hmm. your instincts, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know in the influencer space, especially,
it can get tricky. Yeah.
How do people capitalize on social media these days? You brought us into that topic, so I want to pinpoint that, because there's a lot of people out there that maybe say, "I tried social media, it didn't work. We tried Facebook advertising, it didn't work." I hear that all the time because I'm in consulting, and
yes,
we highly advise most people, not always, but for the most part, you should be using social media. You should probably be capitalizing on Facebook targeting and boosting and remarketing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people out there aren't capitalizing on social media. How are you guys doing that? Or how do you advise people to do it?
Well, for some, their needs are just a little bit different. So it doesn't work for everyone.
Exactly. It doesn't work for everybody.
I think that that's sort of the myth. And, mm-hmm. The myth prior to that or, before 2008 was, celebrity endorsement is going to make it happen. And not always. Maybe,
Not everyone can be doing the exact same thing with.
Exactly. So I think differentiating yourself from the rest of the market and really honing in on your unique qualities and your unique values and benefits to the people that are engaging with your product or you as a person. Going back to the basics, we do this a lot with some of our huge corporate clients, even with social media, where we have to just bring it down to its essence and really stay within that framework. I think with social media, when it doesn't work, is they're trying to emulate those out there that are successful and spending more time on, the looky-loos, like who's over the fence versus what am I doing and am I staying on brand? Am I staying true to the audience? Community management, I always say, that's the key is, spending time with your community and engaging.
You got to be able to build the community first.
Exactly.
But I agree. Facebook.
But even if you have 25 to start, you can target them and you can boost and you can Insta story all you want.
Most people undervalue the small 25 that they start with.
They do. Because you never know who's, look at the person who vetted me for that consulting job. You never know who's out there.
That's true. You never know.
You never know who's
in that $100 million company.
Exactly.
Somebody says they want to learn more about you, get in touch with you, or maybe even follow you on social media. Where can they do that?
They could follow me at Caro Marketing, and that's the tag for everything. Facebook, okay. Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, everything. You can find me there or caromarketing.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show,
Caroline. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
Do you or your business need a better social media presence? Use these few tips to help harness the power of social media. I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, quality over quantity. The goal isn't about bombarding users with posts. Ensuring that the posts are targeted towards your market will help you to gain the most traction while also adding more followers. Number two, comment, share, and like often. Genuinely like, comment, and share others' posts every single day, developing relationships with people over time. Now, this won't happen overnight. If you don't give people the time of day, you can't expect them to do the same for you. Number three, don't always be self-promoting. It's not always about promoting. If you want to leverage social media to grow your business, you have to spend a lot of time delivering value. Don't always try to sell people something at every chance you get. Otherwise, you might be putting them off. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Kriebel.
A woman in Philadelphia having an argument with her boyfriend in a restaurant got so angry she threw a soft drink at him. Then, as she was storming away, she slipped on the wet floor and broke her tailbone. Never mind that the floor was wet because of the drink she herself had thrown. She was still so angry she decided to sue. She did not sue the boyfriend because he didn't have any money. She sued the restaurant for having a wet floor. A jury ordered the restaurant to pay her $113,000. Her medical bills were real, of course, but does that make the business owner responsible? Looking through the lens of liberty, if we see any law-abiding citizen being held liable for the bad behavior of another, it ought to make us all angry, and we should do something about it.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.org.
Hey, have you ever...
To inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars. I am joined by Viola Lee. She's a co-founder of Raw Green Organics, and we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles in entrepreneurship today, which there are a lot of them, aren't there? Just yes. A few that you've probably encountered. Let's start from the beginning when you transitioned from more of a 9-to-5, maybe it was 9-to-6, 7 job, to starting your business. What was the first obstacle you encountered?
I think the first obstacle is you really need to make a commitment and just go for it. When you start worrying about, well, am I going to start making X amount of dollars? Is it going to come in? Am I going to get it funded within the first month? I mean, that just has to go out the door. You have to make a commitment and just go for it and know that you may or may not have a salary for a while.
I always say that entrepreneurship is so much mental too. You have to maintain your confidence, and you know, it's natural for fear, self-doubt, and worries to creep in, but how do you deal with those icky feelings and move past them?
Well, I would have to, if I were to say I woke up every morning thinking, wow, this is, I'm on the top of the world, I'd be lying.
Yeah. Which is refreshing. So yeah, thanks for being honest.
I'd be lying. There are so many things out there. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes when you start, you don't know what you don't know. So you might think that you have a great plan because you're really good at one thing. And, you know, you never fail. Everything that you plan seems to work out. And you might think that you had a couple backup plans and things are going to work out, but there's always going to be a bump in the road in everything you do. And I think the one thing is to never be afraid of failing. And that's okay, because you have to have thick skin. You'll fail, or someone's going to say that, you know, that was a stupid idea, or that is completely idiotic, and fine. You know, you take what they have to say, you know, look at it, and there's never any bad advice. All advice is somewhat good advice because it's something that you didn't know before, right? And I think that you just take that and you just keep on going. You can't be afraid to fail.
How do you differentiate the people who are giving constructive criticism and maybe destructive criticism? Because there's a lot of haters out there, right?
Yeah, there is. I mean, people with there are going to be both. People with constructive criticism are going to give you criticism on a product and they'll tell you why. because of these four things. And they're
they have your best interest in mind.
They have your best interest, right? Definitely. And their views may or may not be wrong. Or they might be right. I'm not sure. But you should definitely take them into consideration. And then there are people who just tell you, well, that's stupid. But why? And they don't, they're just maybe writing you off because it's not important to them, or they don't find that it's interesting. So, you know, there's something for everyone, and not everyone's going to be interested in what you do.
And going back to the failure part, it sounds like a lot of it's just perspective. Instead of seeing it as, oh, shame on me, I made a mistake, it's like, okay, I can learn from this, right?
And definitely. So if you're in a job before where you might have been the A-plus student, A-plus employee, and you're always, you know, going through projects and you are the best of the best and you always did it well. But sometimes it's different when you don't have as many resources. You have to make do with what you have. And there might, things are not going to be perfect. You may not have a perfect business plan the first time around. And a business plan always, God, it's always changing. It's always changed like a moving target. So when you fail, it's just, it happens.
Just keep, pick yourself back up and keep moving forward.
Pick yourself up and keep on going, because if you believe in something, then that's all that matters. Just keep on going for it. And that's what's going to drive you.
Yeah. And you've known a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs who have started and then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, this is a lot harder, takes a lot more work than I thought. Would you say that that's true, that it is harder than people think?
Well, it definitely is, because when you're starting out, you might not have all the team members that you need. You know, maybe there might be like four people or five people. And now one, and let's say you need the creative person. Oh, shoot, but we don't have the creative person. We need the salesperson, the marketing person. And you're not going to be able to do that. So as an entrepreneur, you're going to have to wear multiple hats. And a lot of times when you're great at being a team player or great at being an executor, sometimes you have to step aside and be more of a mentor for your other team members. And that can be harder at times.
So what about when you're just starting out and you are wearing multiple hats, but maybe you don't know how to wear some of those hats? Did you just have to learn on the go, or how did you educate yourself?
Oh, you definitely, when there are no resources, you definitely learn as you go. You know, you have your base plan of what you need to execute on, and then you just go down the path. You might not be a logistics expert, but guess what? You're going to try to be, and you try to get as much advice from people as you can in the industry. There's always free advice. So if you can get it, take it. We always try to look for different people for advice, if we can find board members. And there's always people willing to help you. And that's part of the thing about failing too. So a lot of times people say, well, you know, I got rejected by this investor or that investor. But guess what? You know, in that 15 minutes that even though he said, nope, thanks, why don't you go find another lead and maybe, you know, we'll call you or whatnot. But they'll give you some kind of advice in there. There's going to be constructive criticism that you're going to be able to take and say, shoot, I didn't think about that. Now you learn and you're smarter for the next time around.
Totally. Now, it's very busy being an entrepreneur. How do you maintain a little bit of work-life balance?
Well, for me, now that I have a two-year-old, it is tough. I just have to squeeze it in. If anything, working out is like, I actually have to pencil it into my calendar.
Is that one of the tips you have for entrepreneurs, is actually scheduling outside of work things?
Yes, scheduling in. The workout, it's scheduled, it's on the calendar, you know, at 7:40 in the morning, it's scheduled in. And sometimes if it's a 40-minute workout, it's a 40-minute workout. You get a spin class in, it's great. And, you know, I try to multitask too. So I have a long commute, so I do all my calls in the car. I try to get as much done as I can on my kind of downtime.
And I know a lot of moms who are entrepreneurs sometimes feel guilty. Do you ever have that feeling, and how do you deal with it?
Well, the time, because I'm trying to rush home thinking, okay, I'm going to get home next thing you know, shoot, another hour's gone by, another hour's gone by. And by the time I get home, it's, let's say, 9 o'clock. My poor kid's already in bed and I can't wake him up. And then I might get some time with him in the morning, but then I'm off to work again. So I do feel guilty. So when I actually have downtime, I try to spend as much time as I can with my son. I end up lugging him around with me wherever I go as well. And we just make an activity.
Totally. Thanks so much to my guest, Viola Lee. I'm Alex Rulli, and this is Business.